Which quarterback from the 2022 NFL draft is due for a breakout, and why is it Washington Commander Sam Howell? We'll discuss all of that next on the Locked On NFL Draft podcast.
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Locked On family? Welcome back to the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast, your daily podcast covering your favorite draft prospects, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your boy, Damian Parson, always on the ones and twos. You can find me on Twitter at DP_NFL. I'm a national scout with the Draft Network and your favorite and local running back guru. And as always, the champ is here, Mr. LSU himself, my guy, Keith Sanchez. You can find him on Twitter at TheTalentCode. Keith, talk to him, baby.
Man, what's up, Locked On family? This is Keith Sanchez, senior draft analyst with the Draft Network, man, and 2019 national champ with those LSU Tigers, man. But you know why we're here, DP? We're here, man, a dynamic duo like we're always, man, to bring you championship-level content surrounding the NFL draft, man, whether it's the draft, whether it's philosophy, whether it's roster building, whether it's year two quarterbacks. Uh-oh, that was a snippet into what we're talking about, man. We're continuing to talk about these second-year quarterbacks, right, guys that were rookies last year that going into the second year. For all of the, you know, the data and the history that we have, DP, it's that the second-year quarterback, the quarterbacks, they usually make their biggest jump from year one to year two. So we really wanted to highlight these guys, have some discussions with them. But, DP, before we even get that started, man, why don't you kick it off with our title sponsor first?
Today's episode is brought to you by Bird Dogs. Go to birddogs.com/LockedOnNFL. And when you enter the promo code LockedOnNFL, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti-style tumbler with every single order. Sam Howell. I want to kick it off with Sam Howell, Keith. He started one game last year. Now, we talk about making the case for second-year quarterbacks to be breakout candidates. And I know what y'all thinking, family. DP, he started one game. It was a final game of the season. And albeit the numbers, when you look at just the stats, he was 11 for 19, 58% completion, 168 yards, one touchdown, one interception. I know what you're saying. DP, that's not enough. That's not enough of a sample size. And it may sound, and you might say somebody, if somebody believes in Sam Howell being a breakout candidate, that they're insane. Well, you can go ahead and put a straight jacket on me, family, because I believe that he is a true candidate to break out. And guys, I'm going to tell you, man, for me, it's not just because I did like him as a prospect coming out. I still don't know why he fell to the fifth round. You know what I mean? Matt Corral went third.
In his case, DP, right, and this is what you're talking about, I can't remember if he was eligible to come out the year before or if he had to wait one more. He might have had to wait.
I think he had to. No. He was eligible? I think he was eligible. Remember, he went to the Senior Bowl.
Okay. Yeah. You're right. So, I mean, that the year before when he was eligible, this is a guy everybody was saying was going to be a first-round pick, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why the momentum is so important. And having spent time in college football, I tell the guys, go when your name is hot, right? Because after that, NFL, you know, draft evaluators and the general managers and the scouts, they're just trying to poke holes in your game. And you've seen, there's a guy, I mean, even at North Carolina, in my opinion, he still plays solid football. Like, I was like, the fifth round, like, Bailey Zappe going before Sam Howell didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, right? And we talk about some of those fifth-round quarterbacks. He went in the same round with Skylar Thompson, I believe, the Miami Dolphins quarterback. But Sam Howell had way more production, right? Like, he just produced more at North Carolina. Like we said, you go all the way from the first round to the fifth round, and when you cut the film wasn't horrible film. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe it, right? So, now I'm going to continue the conversation. I just kind of wanted to throw that bit in there.
No, I'm glad you did, because, like I said, I was still shocked that he went fifth round, especially with, like you said, Bailey Zappe, Matt Corral, guys who I felt like he was better than, you know what I mean, went before him. So, but looking at it, there were times at North Carolina that final year after he lost with Dad, it was De'Ami Brown, Daz Newsome, Javonte Williams, and Michael Carter. That was his big four weapons that went to the draft in the 2021 draft, if I remember correctly. And, you know, he stayed in school. Well, he, you know, we saw the emergence of Josh Downs. But then with Sam Howell, he had to turn to Sam Tebow at times. The protection wasn't good. He had to just turn to a power running back, you know, back there at quarterback. But the arm talent, the mobility, but also, Keith, and guys, It's what he has at Washington.
Terry McLaurin. That's important. That's important.
You know, Terry McLaurin, he's got De'Ami Brown as like his wide receiver four. That's a really good option to have as your fourth or fifth wide receiver, being the deep threat that he is. Bringing in Jahan Dotson, right? Curtis Samuel, who's a do-it-all type of Swiss Army knife receiver. Line up in the backfield, put him in bunch and stack sets, throw him in the slot motion, all that stuff. Logan Thomas at tight end is a serviceable big target. But then when you look at the run game, having Brian Robinson Jr. is going to bring that power, but then also having Antonio Gibson, who's another Swiss Army knife, even in the backfield. And last but not least, Eric Bieniemy calling plays. His opportunity away from Patrick Mahomes, away from Andy Reid, to showcase why he should have been a head coaching candidate this entire time. No, I'm all in on Sam Howell being a breakout candidate because all the stars are aligning. He just has to go out there and perform.
Yeah, no, DP, you did a great job outlining, you know, just like you said, talking about the player, but then also transitioning to the situation. Like we keep saying, path to success. Situations matter. Sam Howell was in a good situation. This is a situation, and we've all, and I'll always, y'all, you guys, you always hear me talk about this. I, as the GM, want to put it to where if the quarterback doesn't work out, it was the quarterback's fault. And what I'm saying is this. I don't want to, like, look and have revisionist history, and it's kind of like the situation with David Carr, right, when he was drafted to the Texans, or some of these other quarterbacks, when they say, what, man, this offensive line was god-awful. He got hit all the time, or he didn't have any weapons, or, you know, there was no run game for him to rely upon. So I want to try to get my young quarterback everything that he has. And I'll say this, the Commanders offensive line, it's solid. It's not a great offensive line, but it's not god-awful. So it's a solid offensive line. The weapons, the Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson combination, depending on how Sam Howell plays, can be a top 10 wide receiver combination. Both of those guys are explosive. They're route runners. They're versatile in what they do. Can take the top off. So you're talking about having two, like, that's probably a one in potential 1.5 in Jahan Dotson, right? Don't know if he can be a true number one, but a 1.5. And like you said, Curtis Samuel to back that situation up. So I agree, DP, just because everything is set for him just to go in there and do his thing. And if Eric Bieniemy does what Sam Howell does best, right? The RPO stuff, the kind of off-script stuff, right? And let Sam Howell use his legs a little bit to get out of the pocket. You have a winning combination with the Washington Commanders. Now they'll be in the NFC East, but I think when you look at the schedule, the NFC East, I believe, I can't remember who they play, right? Like, they're cross-divisionals, but I don't think they have that tough of a schedule, if I remember. It may be the toughest, or it's not that tough. I can't remember which one it is, but I'm assuming, right, that schedule is not that bad. Some things can play itself out. Then also, DP, the one part of we didn't talk about, the opposite side of the football, right? They've been able to get this secondary together. We have one of the best, you know, defensive lines in the entire NFL with Jonathan Allen, Deron Payne, Chase Young will be back this year. So you can lean on that run game also, equate to wins, get your quarterback confidence up, right? And then, like you said, all of that equates to a storyline of this guy had a breakout year.
No, 100%, Keith. And their schedule it's pretty solid. You know what I mean? They got some decent opponents on there. Of course, you know, all the NFC East teams. They got San Fran. They have the Miami Dolphins, Seattle Seahawks, the Patriots, and got the Falcons, Bears, Buffalo Bills, and the Denver Broncos. Week one should be an absolute win because they got the Arizona Cardinals. So that should be just a default dub. But because the Cardinals are absolutely tanking this season. But like I said, I agree with you wholeheartedly, man. Like I said, at the end of the day, if you think it's insane, guys, I said it earlier, you can put me in the straitjacket, right? You can commit me. I'll be insane for this moment because I truly believe everything is aligned for Sam Howell to prove. And really, we know that guys put chips on their shoulders. Keith, you've been around a guy like Joe Burrow. Right? You know what I mean? Losing to Dwayne Haskins and all that stuff at Ohio State, transferring over to LSU. You watched him play with a chip on his shoulder that whole 2019 season. That chip could really elevate a guy, especially a talented guy. And Sam Howell, knowing that he was better than the fifth-round pick, he's got the opportunity to absolutely prove NFL franchises who passed on him absolutely wrong.
Yeah, he played with a chip on his shoulder, DP, at on his shoulder, I'm sorry, at at North Carolina. You seen him trying to, you know, he'll do the Tim Tebow thing and try to run over linebackers, man. But DP, talking about chips on your shoulder, man, we have coming up next, we're going to talk about Kenny Pickett with those Pittsburgh Steelers, because still a guy that in college football, man, was so productive, right? Had one of the best quarterback years we've seen, you know what I'm saying, just over the past 10 years as far as touchdowns and completions and passing yards and everything else. But he still fell all the way to pick 20, right? Like, it was still the disrespect of, man, I can't even go top 10, top 15 as a quarterback. So we want to get into Kenny Pickett next. He had a up and down rookie year, but I have a feeling, you know, with Kenny Pickett going into this year, and we're going to discuss that coming up next.
Guys, trying to find pants and or shorts that are comfortable, they fit well, they're flexible and versatile, is not easy to do. I can tell you that from personal experience. But with my personal experience, let me introduce you to Bird Dogs. Bird Dogs will make you look good. Bird Dogs khaki shorts, they're stretchable, and they're designed to fit slimmer through the thigh and the leg, giving you a truly sculpted look, especially for my guys that hit leg day in the gym. Now, they use inventing a cloud knit fabric that looks just like khakis, but stretches so you get that way slimmer fit without sacrificing much movement. And with their anti-stink and sweat wicking fabric, that will keep you cool and dry all day long. So let me help you get a free tumbler. Here's how. Go to birddogs.com/LockedOnNFL and enter the promo code LockedOnNFL for a free Yeti-style tumbler with your order. That's birddogs.com/LockedOnNFL for a free Yeti-style tumbler. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off, I promise you. Kenny Pickett, is he the guy in the Steel City, Keith? Like, you watched him as a rookie all 2022. Is he the guy for them?
Yeah, so is he the guy? I kind of want to go back to Kenny Pickett's draft profile, right? And I think he was a guy that not many people loved him. I think it was either you liked him or you hated him, right? It wasn't a love or hate situation. I think it was a like or hate situation. Yeah. So, and I liked him. I thought he was a pretty good quarterback. I thought he was efficient, effective. And like I said, we consistently, you know, we put the bar for quarterbacks, right? Is okay, are you, you know, are you Trevor Lawrence? Are you Andrew Luck? Are you Peyton Manning? Are you Tom Brady? Are you that guy that won five championships, right? And more times than not, right, like that, those are one-offs. Those are the once every 15 unicorns quarterbacks. Yeah, for real, right? Like more times than not, you want to draft a starting quarterback. Like that's what you want. If you have one of the top picks, or if you need a quarterback and you're drafting someone in the first round, you want a starter. Like that's the threshold, right? And then now is what pieces can I put around him? So Kenny Pickett, like I said, I liked him. I thought he was a good quarterback at Pittsburgh. Him falling to the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think, is a good situation. Let's talk about his rookie season, right? The Matt Canada situation with him, and I had experience with Matt Canada because he was the OC at LSU for a year. He did a year there, you know, at LSU, and I just don't know if everything fit, right? Like what Kenny Pickett did, and you're talking about the run game, you're talking about the jet sweep motion that Matt Canada liked to implement, you're talking about the offensive weapons, you're talking about the offensive line that couldn't get pushed for the run. It just nothing necessarily complemented each other, right? So we transition, we go into this year, and the question is this: can this guy break out? I believe he can, because what people understand is that when we talk about the quarterback game being such a mental game, right? It's like taking a test, right? When you don't know the answers, right, you're hesitant, right? And for quarterbacks, that's what the playbook is, right? It's like trying to learn the playbook. Like, man, I had to spend so much time trying to learn the playbook that I'm focusing on my side of the football, right? Like, so when I walk up to the line of scrimmage, DP, I'm like, all right, I have this play called, you know, whatever the play is. I'm like, I just got to remember what my receiver's doing. All right, ready, set, hut. To the fact of I didn't even read the defense. You see what I'm saying? I didn't complete the process of actually, okay, I know the play. I know that that's second nature to me, right? Now I can spend the time at the line of scrimmage reading the defense. And I think that's what we'll be able to see, because Kenny Pickett, in my opinion, I thought that he was a high IQ football player. I really did. I seen some really good things from him. Is he going to wow you with arm strength and he's the most talented person? No, but you've seen that he was able to get the ball to George Pickens. Deontay Johnson, right, had a role there. They drafted a left tackle. Broderick Jones, a big, powerful guy. I'm so excited they got him, because if they're going to lean on Najee Harris, they need someone like that that can, you know, really create those run lanes. So I'm in on it. I think Kenny Pickett takes a step forward this year. I think this entire offense takes a step forward.
I agree, Keith. And you talked about Najee Harris. You got Jalen Warren, who's backing him up, who showed some flashes of good football at the running back position as well. And they got two physical, like, aggressive runners in terms of when you look at Najee Harris. Both of those guys love the stiff arm. They want to embarrass you and everything and throw you out of the club. You know, they want to really create that highlight, and they're hard to bring down. Two, you know, Warren's more of a shorter, stout build, like that bowling ball type of build, where Najee's that kind of taller, more upright, but he's strong, he's physical, he's powerful. And it's just guys that you through a four quarter game, you get tired of hitting those type of guys. Those type of guys, you just kind of, I don't want to hit them in the fourth quarter. Like, that's just what it is, right? But with Kenny Pickett, also, like, the receivers are good. And not only the receivers, you talk about drafting Broderick Jones, they also went to Georgia and got Darnell Washington, if I remember correctly. So they got Darnell, Pat Freiermuth, and they went, you know, already got the Georgia Bulldog at receiver, right? Like, with George Pickens, Deontay Johnson as well. You know, Calvin Austin, who was hurt last year, who was a standout from the 2022 Senior Bowl, man, like, I think everything is, as long as the offensive line holds up. I think they're talking about, I read that, you know, with Broderick Jones coming in at left tackle, Dan Moore's probably going to be kicked down at guard, which I personally, when I watched it coming out, I think Texas A&M, I actually projected him better as guard than playing tackle. I didn't think he had the athleticism to deal with especially in the division you got drafted into. You got to face Myles Garrett on that same side of the formation, like, all game, two times a year. I just didn't feel like he had the athleticism, but the build, and I think he has good enough power to kick down that guard where he could be a kind of high impact, not average, but well more than above average guard. And then pairing it with Broderick Jones, I think similar to Sam Howell, everything else is there, right? Like, it's not a situation where you have to be Superman. Mm-hmm. It's the thing of, all right, if you take away Superman's powers, right, what do you have left? Clark Kent. Well, I'm not going to ask Clark Kent with no powers to go into space and save the world. And I think that's the biggest thing for me. It's like, don't ask guys who don't have those Superman traits to be Superman. Don't be I can't ask you to be an Avenger if you don't have any powers. Like, if you don't have anything physically dominant, right? Like the Josh Allen, the Patrick Mahomes, the Lamar Jacksons, where I could just throw it all on your shoulders and say, listen, I know it's a tough game. Get us out of this, Lamar. Get us out of this, Josh. Pat, I know you don't got a ton of receiver help. Get us out of this. I don't want to put Kenny Pickett in that situation, but they have everything else in place. I think the defense is going to be on the rise as well. I'm interested to see how this plays out, but I agree with you. I think the case has been made. I'm willing to buy in, Keith. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, I'm willing. You talk me in on the table to put some chips in and place that bet that I think Kenny Pickett will have a better second year. He threw 7 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. But if you look at the game log, he only threw 1 interception like the last 6 games of the season. Majority of his interceptions came in the first half of the season for him.
Yeah, I think he's going to have – it may not be numbers wild. I think he's going to be a much more efficient quarterback. And like I said, this is the conversation that you have with starters, right? And it's like, okay, cool, what is he? And it's like, I'm going to throw out a name, and then everybody's going to turn their heads, and then I'm going to, you know, talk about it. If I throw out the name Tony Romo, right? And I'm like, okay, there's a Tony Romo quarterback. I'm like, oh, man, he's turnover prone, all this other stuff. Okay, cool. Tony Romo was a Pro Bowl, a multiple-time Pro Bowl quarterback in the NFL, right? That at moments, he was in the top 5 in passing yards and everything else. It's like, we can't always have it all, right? Like a Trevor Lawrence isn't coming every single year. It doesn't happen. Right. Sometimes you have to draft a starter. And my question is this, that with the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, I trust them, right, to get it right. They're like, if it's Tony Romo, I trust them not to get in the way of that style of quarterback, right, to where even if you have a little bit of trepidation, man, this guy is not an elite level quarterback, they will put the pieces around him. Like, this is the same organization that run with Ben Roethlisberger as what, a first or second year quarterback, where he won a Super Bowl passing for 80 yards, where they called up a wide receiver versus what Hines Yard threw the ball to, I think, Antoine Randall or something like that. So, like, or maybe it was the opposite way around. But my point is that situations matter. The Pittsburgh Steelers have consistently been a class organization. Kenny Pickett has ability. I think now we start to see it. Run game, play action bootleg, get them on the outside, effective passes, some dialed up things. I believe they brought in a different offensive coach, right, to kind of help with some of the passing game stuff, and Matt Canada would be more of the run game. And I think that would, like,
I like that.
Yeah, definitely help Kenny Pickett. But DP, man, we're talking about quarterbacks, right, man? We talked about a first rounder. We're talking about a fifth rounder. Now we have to talk about Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy with the San Francisco 49ers. He's in a quarterback competition, but of all the quarterbacks, he may have had the most success last year leading the San Francisco 49ers to the NFC Championship game. And a lot of people are saying, hey, if Brock Purdy was healthy, the 49ers would have beaten the Philadelphia Eagles. People have said that. I didn't say that. People have said it. But coming up next, man, we want to talk about Brock Purdy. And not just the breakout, but can he build upon what he did the year before?
Brock Purdy for the San Francisco 49ers. Mr. Irrelevant, man. I don't think we've ever seen a more successful Mr. Irrelevant rookie season than what we saw for Brock Purdy, who was essentially QB, what, 3 or 4 at one point during camp and everything for the San Francisco 49ers. And then Trey Lance goes down week one. Jimmy G takes over. The team is humming. Jimmy G gets hurt. And then he takes over in terms of Brock Purdy. And you just you tip your cap to him. You know, in week seven, he took over. He didn't. Start. I don't believe he started that game. I think that's the game that Jimmy G went down. But from then on, they were pretty much, I think, undefeated, if I remember correctly, throughout the rest of the season. He played good ball. He was, and I know some people, you know, Niners fans who are a very rabid fan base. I mean, you can come at me on Twitter. That's fine. I don't really care. But he was a game manager. Like, he was literally out there with the Avengers. Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey after the trade, George Kittle, Trent Williams, and that outstanding offensive line play. But he was somebody that didn't have to do a whole lot. But, you know, he got hurt in the game versus Philly, right? I think the Tommy John injury where he had to get the surgery and everything. And Keith, guys, the GM, John Lynch, made a statement that, closer to around the draft time, about 2 months ago, that if the season started at the time and if Brock was healthy, he would basically be QB1. I don't believe that. Like, I don't believe that it's a done deal. So it's like, is he a shoe-in for QB1 in San Fran? I don't think so, Keith. I think that Trey Lance being healthy, reworking his mechanics, working out with Patrick Mahomes, getting a lot of love from Mahomes and his camp, his QB training and everything, that holds weight. That says something to me. And watching the clips of how much more fluid and quick he's getting the ball out, it doesn't look restricted. And the thing that was the biggest issue, right, was they talked about arm fatigue. And it was the way he was throwing the football, and he was using more of his upper body and his arm than his lower body, and activating his core, his hips, and his feet. And now he's doing that, guys. So, Keith, I'm going to be honest. I think this is going to be a competition. When Brock Purdy does come back to camp, training camp and everything, and they're able to go throw for throw, I don't believe he's going to be handed the job. Well, let's put it like this. I don't believe he should be. I believe he should have to work for it.
Yeah, why? Okay, now my question is this, right? Because I'm not saying I agree or disagree with you, right? But we got to walk through the elements, right? And there are elements to this, and that's Brock Purdy came in, he played efficient football, he played effective football, and he led his team to the NFC Championship. Trey Lance has been injured, right? We took a flyer on him. Why should I, if I'm Kyle Shanahan or if I'm John Lynch, right, like not give this guy every opportunity? Because if that was Trey Lance, right, that came in and did all of that, we wouldn't give Brock Purdy a chance, right? There's no chance in hell that we're putting Mr. Irrelevant in if Trey Lance had the same type of run. Like if Jimmy Garoppolo would have got injured and then Trey Lance would have came in, right, and won, rattled off 5-6 wins, right, led his team to the NFC Championship game, 13 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 1,300 yards, we wouldn't have cared, right? If he was playing with a talented squad, we would have just said, hey, that's a good situation. So why should we not hand the ball to Brock Purdy, right? Like, why should we not be like, you know what? Go ahead. We believe in you. Get the job done. You know what? It's not pretty, but you mentally have it there to where we can just let you play football.
I think because they mortgaged their future when they drafted Trey Lance. You know, they gave up 3 first-round picks. Like, you have to – You got to give it an equal situation. And the reason why, so, you asked the question, you say if the roles were reversed. Yeah, no, Brock wouldn't get a shot because he'd be Mr. Irrelevant. He would be the last pick in the draft, where if Trey Lance is your third overall pick, well, was he third? Yeah, third, because he was behind Zach Wilson. The third pick in the draft, if he came out and played, you know, for a substantiated amount of time and played well, you wouldn't even be thinking about Brock Purdy. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. But my case would be, if I'm Brock Purdy, I'm saying that ain't my problem. Y'all messed up, right? Like, that's not my problem that y'all took him with a guy that played, what, 1 year at North Dakota State and wasn't even his last year because that was the COVID year. And then right. He only had 19 starts since his high school career. And then he got injured, right? Because if he was playing, y'all would have never thought about drafting me if he was taking care of his business. So if I'm Brock Purdy, I'm saying that ain't none of my business, big dog. That's on y'all, right? It's like, so that's yeah, the, and we just, you know, going through the different elements, because this is going to be a fun conversation, right, when we get into it, because we haven't even invoked the name of Sam Darnold, right, who a lot
I don't
people,
plan on invoking it.
Yeah, but we're going to have to. You want to know why? Because he's going to be in this conversation, because if there's any other situation where quarterbacks can come in and play high level, we got to think about this. We've seen J.C. Beathard. Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Jimmy Garoppolo tries to throw his interceptions, and he still leads the team to the NFC Championship game. So you can't tell me that Sam Darnold can't have some element of success, right? Like, we've watched the San Francisco 49ers, and we've all sat there and said, man, I might be able to get out there and complete a couple passes. You know what I'm saying? Like, if that guy is doing it, and it's no disrespect, right? But we've watched with Kyle Shanahan, and this is a lot of credit to Kyle Shanahan, and Kyle Shanahan is the weirdest coaching person, right? Like, when you, because the thing is this, that the same things you criticize him for, you have to give him credit for. And the same thing you give him credit for, you have to criticize him. Meaning that is like, he can take any quarterback and win games with them, but he can't take the highly talented quarterback and get that guy over the hump. It's weird, right? Like, I can take a D-minus quarterback and get to the NFC Championship. But if you give me a quarterback with all the tools and, you know, just identifying a quarterback, that's tough for him. And I think it's crazy. That's why I say there's a balance to it. But DP, I think with the Brock Purdy conversation, so what's the answer? Is he a breakout candidate, or are you like, I'm not buying the hype? Where are you with it?
It's tough because for me, Keith, I look at it from the aspect of, we all know, It takes the NFL defenses like the offseason after a year of play. So you know that they're looking at, what did he do well, right? And I can tell you by looking at the numbers what he did well. He threw over 100 passes less than 10 yards last year, right? He threw a lot of passes at the line of scrimmage and you know, in that 0 to 9 type of range, over 100. Majority of his yards came there. He was getting the short in the intermediate game as well. He wasn't great deep. So I would not be surprised to see what Philadelphia was starting to do early in that game. And that's cloud the middle of the field, put an umbrella at that 10 to 12 yard type of range and force them to throw the ball deep, right? Crowd the middle of the field, give you the one-on-ones outside and say, Brock, throw it deep. Beat me deep, because I'm not going to give you all these easy throws that Kyle Shanahan schemes up. So I'm interested to see how that plays out. It's tough because I do believe that it's a QB competition. And if he's the starter, I think there's a case for him to still be a breakout guy because of Kyle Shanahan and his ability to play within structure. Kyle loves those guys. I mean, the Kirk Cousins, the Matt Ryans. Like, yeah, you ain't going to do nothing for me off script, but you're going to hit that 5 yard out right on time. Like, you know, he loves that type of stuff, which is cool. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I just think it's going to be – a little more difficult than it was this past season. Because you know what I mean? Anytime you don't have expectations and you sneak up on somebody, like, yeah, okay, you got me. Now I know you're on the way. I see you now. You're in my purview and in my point of view. So it'll be interesting for sure, you know, for me to see it. I don't have a bookmark this is in terms of my decision.
Bookmarking means we have to come back, and you know what? We may have a whole episode on this San Francisco 49er situation with Brock Purdy, with Trey Lance, and like I said, we didn't even get into the Sam Darnold conversation. Wow. DP. So I'm excited for him. I think this is a very interesting situation. I tried to put you on the spot, make you make a decision.
I'm a running back, baby. I got juice,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you got out the way. To be completely honest, I had plans on doing the same thing. I'm not answering this question if Brock Purdy is going to be a breakout quarterback. I'm going to do what you say, bookmark it. I'm going to what they say, save it for later. I'm going to just like it and then come back to it. Right? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to like this post and I'm going to come back to it because then we're definitely going to have this conversation again when we get into the team analysis podcast and the roster breakdowns. We have to go through the San Francisco 49er conversation, but I thought it was a good one. It was very entertaining.
Nah, it was fun. It was fun. Guys, as always, man, we appreciate y'all. We appreciate y'all so much. Go subscribe and follow for free on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episode as soon as it's available. Thank y'all so much for making Locked On NFL Draft your first listen today and every day. You know what we tell you. You're not only our family, but you're the everydayers. We appreciate and we love y'all. For tomorrow's episode, you know, we're gonna stick with the quarterbacks, but we're looking at those. Maybe we take a stroll down year three, those make or break type of quarterbacks, and get into that. There's a lot of content that we got swirling around our minds, man.
Year three, so we're talking Justin Fields, we're talking Mac Jones.
Trey Lance again. You know,
yeah, this is gonna be fun. I think we should talk about that tomorrow, DP. I think we should.
Dynamite. Let's do it. But listen, guys, in terms of Twitter, you can find Keith Sanchez at the Talent Code. I'm Damian Parson, DP. _NFL. Come and join the conversation again tomorrow on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.